This is the Valley Outdoors, and thank you for joining us today. We've got a full house. Donald is here. Good to have you back. We'll talk a little bit about that later.
Yeah.
And Ava is here.
I'm here.
After a great weekend that we had last weekend, we're going into a beautiful weekend this weekend.
Nice and hot.
Let's steamy. Gotta like that. Well, it's going to be steamy in the show today. Hang tight. We got a lot to talk about. Rob Driesline is going to join us from Outdoor News with all the latest fun stories that are going to be coming out of that. So stay tuned for Valley Outdoors right after this. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Hello, Donald. Ava.
Good day.
We're here.
Yay. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
Staying
yeah.
nice and cool indoors.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of funny we're saying that.
Yeah, I think it's really funny considering last week.
So, Donald, you were, what?
I ventured up to the Rainy area, Rainy Lake.
Yep.
You know, where you could see Canada. Couldn't
you just,
go there.
You just, can't go there. You can get close
to it.
You
can see it. I mean,
you can wave.
You can wave at it.
Hi, Canada.
Yeah, and don't you dare go across that border because the sirens and the whistles and the horns and everybody comes charging after you.
Well, not if you're 20 miles out, but they do know you're there. But it was a harrowing experience with
laser beams.
I wish you could have seen it, Don's face. They know you're there.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how was the fishing, Don? Tell us how the fishing was.
Very tough.
Was it?
Very tough.
Didn't you have a dramatic change in temperature while you were there,
Oh,
too?
Yes, we did.
Here's the best question in the world. Hey, Don, how tough was the fishing?
It was as tough as I've ever seen.
Uh-oh.
Ever.
Okay.
Ever.
Do explain.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and there's probably a good reason why. I mean, there's a couple of reasons. If you talk to the locals, they say it's had a lot of heavy pressure the last year. Because there's a lot of people that would have liked to have slipped across the border into Canada to spend some of their fishing time. And they kind of stop at the Rainy, you know, Cabotogama. But we had weather that we had heavy winds blowing right into us. I mean, the first day we didn't even get to put our boats in because it was so windy. And the next day, I think it was like 36 degrees in the morning, which was one of the warmer mornings. We had snow the next morning. The next day we broke the record for the area for low temperature. I think it was 26. So it delayed our getting on the water every day. And then we didn't find out until the very last day that where the fish populations actually were way up the lake, way up by Kettle Falls. If you're familiar where that is,
I worked up there as a kid.
Did you really? It's a cool place.
We went to Cab as a kid on the resorts, and then we would take a day trip back then. It was usually a day trip to get from Voyageurs
Cab.
Area on Cab down to Rainy, and then you do the rail portage and eat in the Rainy Lake Hotel. If you ever get a chance to do that, the Kettle Falls Hotel, I should say, Hotel.
Yep.
It has it's wooden floor in the main living room area.
Little warped.
And it's got about a 10-foot rise in the floor with the bar. The whole thing is there.
And a pool table. Pool table sitting in the middle of it. But it's level.
It's level.
It's just that on one side you're shooting from your knees, on the other side you're shooting from your chin.
Yeah. Yep. But that's impressive. They got electrified kitchen mesh on the back so that when the bears come up, they don't have a tendency to want to
stick around
mm-hmm. once they hit that electrified fence. So
anyway, we didn't find that out till the day we were loading our boats. That's where some of the locals were finding some of the fish. But even the local guides are struggling taking guests out. And that's a long run if you're guiding for a guest to go on a boat ride. He said it would take me at least an hour and 15 minutes to get there.
$4 a gallon of fuel
yeah.
at
And with the weather cooling down the week prior to us being there, it's always the way it works. It was very nice, and the fish were biting.
Should have been here yesterday.
Should have been here last week, yep. And, of course, the following week, been pretty warm again. It warmed up again.
Stability is everything. That's it fits with the tip of the week this week, and I'm glad you were able to do that. Sorry you didn't have a good trip.
We had a wonderful trip.
I was up fishing the horseshoe chain, as I will be alluding to, and we talked to Rob a little bit, and it was a charity guide trip, and conditions were brutal. The water level had dropped a foot. The water temp increased by 4 degrees in like 3 days, and the fish, everything was just a mess. The water was dirty. There was weeds everywhere because everything was piling out of the shallow areas as far as water goes. And we've seen it here too. When the water's on the drop, it's not a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bad thing. And we experienced that whole deal. But the funny part was we played with a bunch of different things, trying everything until the end. It was a multi-species trip. We were helping them pre-fish for an event that they had, a tournament. And I said, well, let's try it. So we threw frogs out in the heavy, heavy stuff. And little did I know that there are bass that size in that body of water. They blew up on those frogs.
Oh.
And frog fishing is so fun to begin with because it's all top water.
Right.
And they hit the water, you twitch it, let it sit for about 5-10 seconds. And proved to me that their fish were negative. They didn't really hit it as far as downing it, but you really finally figured out how to get at or what to do to get those something going.
Right.
So really, the point really is when things aren't working, change it up. Do something that's going to be different completely. Maybe you're working a shallow edges. Maybe go to weed lines, especially this time of year. Those fish will relate to weed. Rock, steeper rocks, closer as far as a break, closer to the to that shoreline. So really work those concepts. Maybe change the cadence on your retrieve. That's a big thing too that can dramatically change. So really focus on changing it up if things aren't working and really let that kind of transpire. So one thing you got to check out on video. We don't have the video, but you can check it out.
It's everywhere.
California woman shoves a bear off a wall to protect her dogs. Proof that everybody is very protective of their animals. In this particular case, I think it was not a wise decision. Brick wall, backyard, three dogs barking at the bear.
This is why recall on your dog is so important. Because she could have said, hey, get over here, and not had to have approached a bear. Does that make sense?
It's only been viewed 39 million times already. Obviously gone viral. I wouldn't want to be the person that is doing that. But nonetheless, she did suffer from scratches and a sprained finger. She's lucky that she did not have anything else that went awry.
Yeah, it could have went south in a hurry, yep.
But yeah, check it. Woman shoves bear off wall, and you should be able to pick that up on YouTube.
Anywhere.
Yeah. Maybe
you'll find it.
Maybe TikTok by now.
Oh, that's where I saw it.
Yeah. Who knows? We'll tell you what. Stay tuned. We are going to be right back with Mr. Rob Driesline from The Outdoor News. Stay tuned. Welcome back, everybody. Want to have you check us out on Facebook, like us, please, and thevalleyoutdoors.com. And every moment that we stay on track, we're one moment closer to pulling that trigger and flipping the switch, Donald.
It's getting close.
Getting close. I just have one thing I need to get completed, and we're good to go, right?
We are.
Yep. So that's me. It's on me. It's all my fault. And all my fault is also having our next guest on, which is a friend of the show and just I've known for years, Mr. Rob Driesline from The Outdoor News. And Rob, as always, great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me, Eric. It's always good to catch up.
Yeah, and catching up we will. Apparently, there's always something to talk about, but it seems to me that there's some cloak and dagger things going on at the state legislature when it regards to the outdoors scenario. Fill us in on what's going on with that.
Well, it's frustrating. Every year I write a column at the end of the session saying how frustrated I am, and every year it seems like it gets a little bit worse than the previous year. You know, for decades, you know, it would always come down to the final few hours of the session. Everything would get thrown together, and the next morning we'd say, well, what happened? Well, believe it or not, that was better than what's happening now, which is the session ends, and then they go into these closed-door meetings, zero transparency, and iron out the details, and then come back for a special session, supposedly, and rubber stamp everything and go home, which is very frustrating when, you know, you'd like to see decisions made with some transparency, like, you know, to use that word again, in committee hearings and that sort of thing. And the session ended here, what, 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago? We don't have an environment bill. We don't have a legislative citizens commission on Minnesota resources spending bill. And supposedly that's all being, you know, they're grinding that out right now in some closed-door meetings. But we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what policy initiatives are going to pass or not pass. So very frustrating.
So to me, it seems like we need to get one of the legislators on that's involved with that to try and maybe glean that out of them. Maybe that's something we need to do, Don. What do you think?
You find out who the right one is to talk to.
Yeah.
If anybody will visit with us.
You know, and it's a prime example of transparency is what we lack oftentimes, and people get frustrated within the state, whether it's regulation, it's non-regulation, it's whatever the case may be. All of a sudden, next thing you know, where'd that come from? And that's a story we did a while ago, Rob. I think it was 3 weeks ago. And everybody was trying to figure out where in the world did the bill come from. And the article was written and said, we don't know who came up with the bill or this conversation about limits and regulations as far as slots and everything else. And statewide, they were looking at doing that. So it seems a bit odd. I will say that, Rob. What's your take? You know, what do you think the deal? What do you think the reason is?
I guess to get back to, you know, you're suggesting getting a legislator on, that's none of them are really talking right now. They're all saying we can't discuss anything. Part of the problem in D.C. as well as St. Paul these days is it seems like there's less and less debate and haggling and bartering going on in committees, and it's all involves leadership. There's three or four leaders in D.C. There's three or four leaders in St. Paul. They're making the decisions. They're telling the committee chairs not to talk. They're telling, you know, your rank-and-file legislators out there, they don't know what's going on. They're being told to come back, you know, to St. Paul and vote in mid-June on whatever their leadership decides. It's a bad way to run government.
So the decision's already been made, basically, when they come back. They just have to say, you're going to vote this way, whether you like it or not.
Right. Exactly. Fall in line and within the party ranks. That's right.
Wow.
No.
Well, let's.
There's all kinds of policy things. We don't know what's going to happen. You know, the walleye limit thing. I've had a couple people ask me about, you know, there was talk of southern Minnesota allowing rifles. That's been kicked around.
Yep.
You know, people have said, is that going to pass, Rob? And I don't think it is. I think a lot of this policy stuff's going to die, but I can't say for sure right now.
Wow. That's. And for you especially, trying to get the word out to people, and that's your job. It's our job to try and alert people as well. You can't tell people what's going on, and they want to know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm as frustrated as anybody. And you know, read the Star Tribune, too. Read some of their government coverage. You can tell their reporters are just as frustrated.
Stonewall. They're stonewalling it. So what else? We got anything positive, Rob, that's going on? Good stuff?
Well, yeah. The other big story, of course, was the passing of that conservation officer. That's not positive.
No.
Tragic. Last week, her funeral was held last Friday. By all accounts, a really incredible gal. Tim Spielman wrote his column about her this week. And a real fun thing in there was, I guess she was into roller derby.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she sounded like a really neat gal. I'd encourage folks to read Tim's column talking about she was a part of a roller derby team called the Iron Range Maidens. So kind of combining the fact that she was from the Iron Range, and I guess she must have liked heavy metal. She must have liked Iron Maiden.
Oh, very, very well done. Good play on words. I like it.
Right. Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate that times are changing when it comes to enforcement, and that's unfortunate, very unfortunate that goes. So not a good thing.
Yeah.
But
And we've got more chronic wasting disease news, unfortunately. You know, that has officially really blown up here in the past few weeks. We've got this Beltrami County farm, and clearly it was connected to a bunch of other farms, including one in Hennepin County. And so the DNR issued an emergency order halting all movement of farmed whitetails earlier this past week for 2 months. They did the same thing in 2019 for just a month. This time they're shutting it down for 2 months, and a lot of people saying that's long overdue.
Well, absolutely. And if you look at those farms, basically it's a penned raising area for the deer. And if you look at any of them getting out, it's almost in the scenario where, not quite to the degree, but what happened with the Mississippi River and the carp scenario, you get one out, it affects everything out there, and all of a sudden you've got mass chaos and not good things happen from it. That's horrible, and it's a little baffling how we don't seem to control it. It seems to all of a sudden blossom out of nowhere.
And you know, it was kind of a quirky little southeast Minnesota story for a number of years. That's, you know, the place it was found, but now it's blown up and it's quickly going statewide.
Yeah, across the United States as well. I mean,
it was a very good point. There's been a lot of news just this past week down in Texas. So a lot. It's really spreading fast down there.
And if people, of course, aren't familiar with CWD, chronic wasting disease, it affects the deer. And I believe it's a brain scenario where they become very confused. So if you do see deer that are emaciated, confused, or kind of wandering, not knowing what's going on, please report that that scenario and let the DNR know, or state troopers, any form, police or otherwise, and then they will convert that to a DNR phone call. It's important we try and take care of that as best we can, as fast as we can. So it does not affect other herds that are in the area, which could literally turn into you got to literally wipe out the herd because that's the only way you can clear it up. So
sad. One little good news item, fishing license sales are still booming this year. They're not quite as on par where they were last year, but they're down, I think, like 0.5%, maybe 1% from last year, which was, I think, a record year this century. So far, but by this time a year ago. So, yeah, that's good. People are getting out. People are enjoying the outdoors.
Well, if you think about it, Rob, what we were anticipating, once everything opened up, everybody said, oh, you know, people that were talking, you know, the people that are in the know, well, you know, since people can't get out, they want to go out. So last year, everybody went out and went fishing. Well, now we can go out and do whatever we want. And guess what? If you're only down 0.5 percentage point, that tells me it's grasped people, and people are excited about going out. Where I'm at, that's what I'm hearing constantly. People are just loving fishing, whether it's shore or boat, whatever. You can't find a used boat out there, that's for sure.
Right.
Everybody wants. I mean, if it's any indication on that side of the fence, whether it's new or used, good luck trying to find anything. And people are getting out and enjoying it. It's not the baseball games. You can watch the TV, but you can get out and enjoy your boat and get out, enjoy your RV, whatever that might be. So,
I mean, a lot of new people introduced to the sport, which is really good, but I think a lot of them are women. First-time women licensed purchasers. So,
yeah, I think it's good.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure they're doing shore fishing, you know, maybe with their young ones.
Well, to give you an idea, I did a charity trip. I donated it at an event for the Women Anglers of Minnesota. I took out the president of Women Anglers of Minnesota and a friend of hers. We went fishing on the horseshoe chain of lakes up by Sauk Center the other day. And so we went out and did some fishing, and we were talking various, you know, things. And their group has tripled in the last year and a half.
And women anglers.
Tripled.
Yep.
And we're talking, these ladies were...
competitive?
Do you think?
Yeah.
I'm talking, you know, we get in the boat, and the one, Sue, is the one in the... She was in the back, and Michelle was in the, you know, she was the president, and they're like, okay, what are we going to run today? Well, we're going to try some jigs. We're going to try hair jigs. We're going to run some spinnerbaits, and we're going to run frogs, and so maybe some swim baits, depending on how dirty the water is. All right, let's get it rigged up. I mean, it was, and it was go time. All right, what kind of knot are you tying on this one? Because we usually use this one. I went, this is cool. And we've had Stephanie on, who's
I'm anxious to hear what you learned.
You know, What I learned?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Stay out of their way.
Yeah.
Seriously, stay out of their way, because it was entertaining. But nonetheless, you know, that's a big part of not just the market, but I think the trend and the excitement level for people that realize, and women that realize, that, hey, this isn't only guy sport. This is fun. It's like golf. It's competitive. And they're having a tournament up there today, Saturday. So, yeah, it's going to be one of those things where it's go time and they're on top of it. So pretty neat deal.
That's fantastic.
No,
that's
it really is, Rob. That's, you know, from our side of it, you know, we like to promote that aspect. And I know you've done quite a few articles on the women in the outdoors. And there's been a number of seminars on it as well. So big deal. Our own Ava is one.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah.
you know, Boundary Waters is another thing that's blown up. I think we're on a record pace for Boundary Waters permits this year. A lot of people going up there. I wrote a piece about canoe sales and like pickups and like boats. You're on a waiting list at a lot of these retailers if you want to buy a canoe right now.
Are they doing reservations up there to get in? I mean, more so, really, it's becoming regulated now. I mean, it used to be, hey.
There's a limit. There's a limit to the number of people that can go in there. And I'm not sure.
Yes, I
would be surprised if they're not maxed.
I would as well.
Because I was up on Rainy, you know, over the Memorial weekend, and I think every campsite had someone at it in the Voyagers area.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of boat traffic on the lake.
Yeah.
Already. Yeah. And it wasn't, you know, great weather that was conducive. You know, we're breaking records for low, which in International Falls says something.
Yeah, the icebox of the world.
Yeah, 26 degrees. You just don't want to jump in the boat real quick.
No, exactly.
Well, yeah, Rob, the Forest Service limits the number of permits per entry point per day, and yeah, a lot of them have already been reserved for this summer. But there's still a few available. You can snoop around; you'll find some.
Yeah, absolutely.
I got buddies that are up there for 10 days.
Right now.
Right now. Yeah.
Cool. Picked the perfect time.
Yeah. Yeah, no
this
kidding.
Weekend's a little bit on the steamy side.
Yes.
And you can jump in the lake, cool down.
There is. Right. Well, yeah. And you will cool down because of water temperature in a lot of those lakes.
No, I can tell you, it was 54 degrees when I was there.
That's like going sauna, snowbank.
Yeah,
sauna,
really.
Snowbank.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. Rob, where can we find you? We can find you on?
At outdoornews.com.
Awesome. Yep, check it out, guys. We'll have it on our website, outdoornews.com. As always, Rob, fantastic having you with us. And we're going to try and do something with this legislative stuff and find out if we can't get somebody on to talk about it. Because I'm always anxious to see cloak and dagger and what we can get out of this deal.
Good. Pride. I like it.
All right. We'll keep you posted. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Take care. Bye, guys.
Right. More Valley Outdoors coming right after this.
Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference.
Rob's always a good guy, don't you guys think? I mean, he's such a
so well-versed on everything.
He is.
He knows everything.
A little bit about everything, except right now, something that nobody knows about is what's going on in the legislature, which is kind of an odd thing, and we are going to pursue that and see if we can't do something in the next couple of weeks to find out what really is happening.
What's going on there?
Closed doors. This one, I think, will be of interest for everybody because I'm hoping to find this in the next walleye I catch, which will be really great. Fishermen found $1.5 million worth of, yes, whale vomit in Yemen. 35 Yemeni fishermen sold a 280-pound mass of ambergris, which is this massive material, to a trader in the United Arab Emirates. Here's how the story goes. A group of the fishermen changed their lives with whale vomit. The odorous organic material, also known as ambergris, came from a sperm whale carcass in the Gulf of Aden, according to the BBC. Inside the whale's bloating stomach was 280 pounds of ambergris, which is a solid digestive substance that's used in the fragrance industry for scent stabilization.
Oh, geez.
The material is created when a sperm whale can't digest the beaks from squid and cuttlefish, according to recent theories, and they believe ambergris is regurgitated as a protective mechanism following intestinal irritation.
Ava's checking her perfume.
Well, for real.
35 men reeled in the deceased whale under the suspicion the whale contained ambergris based on its smell. One of the, I don't think it would be a perfume smell. Fisherman explained in a video interview the 280 pounds of ambergris was reportedly sold for $1.5 million to a trader in the United Arab Emirates. Meanwhile, collection and sale of ambergris is illegal in the U.S. due to it being a byproduct from an endangered species per policies set in place by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA. Over in Yemen, though, the fishermen split their seven-figure catch and have bought cars, homes, boats, while making charitable donations to their village, according to the BBC. United Nations reports that Yemen has a population of 24.1 million, and 80% are said to be in need of humanitarian aid and protection. And beside this group of Yemeni fishermen, other people throughout the Middle East and Asia have found multi-million dollar pieces of ambergris. And 2016, they reported the free fishermen in Oman found and sold 176 pounds for nearly $3 million. 4 years later, Thai fishermen found and sold 220 pounds for $3.3 million. So I just thought we'd leave you on a very odoriferous note before you head off into your lovely day on the water or wherever you might be. Just make sure you tell your wife or girlfriend that what makes them smell so
check
good
for ambergris.
Is look for that ambergris. It might be worth all a lot right. of money. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We are on The Valley Outdoors, and we're going to be back next week. Don't know who it is, but we'll be here. Thanks so much for joining us.